This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
We're going to talk to Steve Forbes, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, and his new book, Inflation, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It, is out. It's a great book. I read it. And, Steve, it's great to have you. I want to talk to you about inflation and jobs, but I just got to read you this. I just saw this on the Fox Business website. They seized Putin's yacht, his $700 million super yacht. Yes. I have been ragging on this for weeks on the air. Putin's alleged $700 million super yacht seized in Italy. Italians, I love this. They scrambled to investigate. They say it's nearly 460-foot super yacht known as, I can never pronounce this word, Scheherazade. I know it's a biblical word. Anyway, dry docked in the Tuscan port of Marina del Carrara, concerns mounted. The Kremlin-linked vessel was set out to Italian waters shortly. They nailed it. I wanted the U.S. to nail it in conjunction with it, but I don't care. They took his yacht. I love this.
Well, that's right. And what they should do is put it up for auction and use the proceeds to provide arms to Ukraine.
Yes.
Give Ukraine all the weapons it needs to win that war. We're still not doing it, shockingly, which obviously has an effect on the economy. And Ukraine now, from their experience of fighting the Russians since 2014 in eastern Ukraine, and the training they received from NATO that nobody knew about, they have one of the two or three best armies in the world today. So give them the means to do the job.
Great points. All across the board. Important, really important points. So let me ask you this, Steve Forbes. So here's this guy, Putin. He's been president and prime minister and whatever, 30, 40 years. He's a public official. How does he afford a $700 million super yacht? And I'm going to go back. I sang this on the air a couple of weeks ago of our Fox Business show from the great Broadway play Fiorello. People of a certain age listening to this will remember Fiorello, where you know, they're trying to get rid of the corrupt mayor who also had a yacht, and they launch into this famous song. How did you afford this? Well, I gave up smoking for a couple of months, and I put my pennies into a little tin cup. And so Putin put into a little – and it's a famous song. If I had known this was coming out, I have the song in my folder at home, the little tin cup. But really, Putin's a – look.
That is so right, and what 401k advice? I want to know. The inquiring public wants to know.
Yes,
who manages his money?
Well, the point, in all seriousness, the point I kept trying to make, and I wanted Biden and his people to make this point. He is a war criminal, no question about that. But he is also, Steve, a crook, been stealing hundreds of billions of dollars from the Russian working people for decades. He's just a big crook, and I don't know why they didn't launch that narrative.
It's a criminal enterprise.
Right.
And if you don't cooperate, as some of these oligarchs have sadly discovered, suddenly you get these strange diseases, you disappear, your family disappears. It's a criminal enterprise. And why we don't hammer that home on Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty, why we don't hammer that home by our own State Department. And the word will seep through that at the same time they're sending tens of thousands of Russian conscripts who don't know how to fight to early deaths in Ukraine. These guys are still looting the country. Hmm. And that's why the military stinks there, is because the generals and the defense people were all on the take, and it infected, rotted the army. The non-coms are on the take. I mean, they loot these towns in Ukraine, and then they've put it in cars they've stolen and sell the stuff in Russia. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Ryan, I'm going to go to Ryan, my crackerjack producer researcher. Go Google up Fiorello. All right, it's called Little Tin. I think the Little Tin Cup is the name of the song, and we'll play it at some point. If you don't find it during Steve Ford, we'll play it later. But I'll bet you're going to find it. It was kind of like the lead song in that great Broadway play, which I think was in the early 60s, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Steve Forbes, you're spot on. I mean, so how does it – I wasn't going to ask you about this, but let's talk about Ukraine. How does it look to you right now that, you know, Ukrainians are always doing better than anybody felt, you know, believes possible? How does this story look to you?
Well, the story right now is that I think Putin's recognized, obviously, didn't get that quick victory. And the question now is he serious about all this talk about using nukes? They have more than any other country in the world, these low-grade tactical nukes that are one-third of the blasting power of what we dropped in Hiroshima in 1945. And the question is, would he really do a demonstration or even bomb a city in Ukraine and say, you give me what I want, or we're going all the way? And I think the way I hope right now Washington is taking that seriously and behind the scenes, credibly saying, here are the consequences if you even get close to that. They also know you have to go through a chain of command to do that kind of thing. Are we contacting Russian officers? Are we making clear you're going to be tried as war criminals if you survive this thing? So I hope they're laying down those markers. And then the question becomes, what does Putin do on Monday when he makes the celebration of the Allied victory, Russian victory against the Nazis in World War II? What is he going to outline there as a so-called victory? That's why he's so desperate to get that port city of Mariupol, because he has nothing else to show for it. And so he's reduced the city to rubble, and he's going to try to make that a great victory. But we have to drive Putin out of Ukraine and make very clear you don't even consider using nukes, because the consequences, not only is your whole economy going to be shut down, your Black Sea is going to be blockaded, all the money is going to be seized, and your ships are going to be sunk. Then we got to credibly make that clear. Don't even go near that, because you cross that threshold and other countries are going to be doing it. It's just a disaster, human disaster.
Well, agreed on all sense. All right, we actually have...
The people at KPMG make the difference for their clients. Talented teams leveraging the right technology to uncover insights that illuminate opportunity. KPMG teams together with their clients, working shoulder to shoulder with them to help grow and transform their enterprise. Are you ready to make the difference together? Go to visit.kpmg.us/transformation to learn more.
This is the Putin 401k song. Go ahead, folks.
Your witness. Mr. X, may we ask you a question? It's amazing, is it not, that the city pays you slightly less than $50 a week, yet you've purchased a private yacht.
I am positive your honor must be joking. Any working man can do what I have done. For a month or two, I simply gave up smoking, and I put my extra pennies one by one
into a little tin box. A little tin box
that a little tin key unlocks.
Oh, it's fabulous.
There is nothing unorthodox about a little tin box.
All right, kids. That's just great stuff. So there's your 401k management. it's a very serious subject, but I mean, you got to have a little bit of fun on a Saturday morning. Steve Forbes, nobody's as good as you are. Let's take a quick break, Steve, and then we'll come back and talk about inflation and the jobs report. But I do appreciate your analysis. This tactical nuclear weapons threat is a very, very serious business. You're quite right on that. We're talking to Steve Forbes of Forbes Media. He needs no introduction from me or anybody else. We will come back with Steve Forbes after this brief word.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking to the great Steve Forbes, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, and really must read his new book, Inflation, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It. Steve Forbes, what'd you make of the jobs numbers yesterday? And, of course, worker wages, average hourly earnings, I'll use the one for production workers, up 6.4% last 12 months, which is a good number. But, unfortunately, it's 2 percentage points underneath the inflation rate. So real wages are still falling. But there's some people on Wall Street are saying a little bit of weakness in the job numbers. Looks like inflation is coming down. What are you thinking?
Well, I think the jobs report was fairly good. But the one thing that two things raise red flags. One is people are dropping again out of the labor force, especially people who haven't had completed high school education and the like. Mm. What is going on there? The other thing that is a first sign that there may be trouble brewing is as you know, Larry, they have two surveys. One gets the publicity, but they also have the household survey. That survey, which usually captures small businesses better, but so their job numbers are all over the map, but over time they match the number that we get reported each month. That job number actually went down 323,000, which I think shows trouble on the small business front, both trying to hire people, but also that they're facing real pressures that are going to affect the economy. So overall, good report, but there are red flags there. And on the inflation front, the Federal Reserve is still dragging its feet. You know, we point out there are two kinds of inflation, monetary and non-monetary. This government's making the non-monetary worse. Now they're going after railroads, which is going to raise costs, artificially raise costs. But on the money front, the Fed does have this massive amount of money. Steve Hanke, your previous guest, made reference to it. Mm-hmm. Now over $1.8 trillion that is ready to flood the economy. And one thing that got no publicity is the Federal Reserve raised the rate it pays on bank reserves parked at the Federal Reserve. It's now 0.9%.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're going to be trying gimmicks to try to prevent a flood of money coming into the economy. But as people run down their cash, interest rates go up. I think you'll see more bank lending, more credit card lending, and that's how you get traditional money creation. And the best battle, the way you battle this, in addition to stop the money printing and start reducing the money supply, is go to some sort of gold standard, whether it was the informal one that Greenspan had for part of the 1990s or what we had under Bretton Woods. But we did an article the other day, my two co-authors, Nathan Lewis and Elizabeth Ames for Fox Business Opinion, that you can't even discuss such a thing anymore. Even though Greenspan informally used it, it's cancel culture. You can't even bring that up anymore. So the Fed, as you well know, the only way they know how to fight inflation is by slowing the economy. Even though they say the Phillips curve is out the window, they're still practicing it. They got to slow the economy to fight inflation, and that is just the wrong cure. Make the dollar stable again. King dollars, you used to say.
No, that's right. Listen, go back. You mentioned Greenspan. You can go back a little further. Ronald Reagan appointed, remember, Steve, Wayne Angel, Manley Johnson, and Robert Heller, three Reagan appointees to the Federal Reserve Board in 1985 and 1986. And those guys generated a discipline. I think that Wayne Angel was best known for it, but the others, whether you looked at a commodity price rule or Manley Johnson and the late Bob Heller, Bob Kelleher, I beg your pardon, wrote a book about market price signals. But basically, you'd be using gold, commodity indexes, the yield curve, and the exchange rate. And when they got out of line, like in an inflationary environment, the exchange rate would go down, gold commodities would go up, the yield curve would widen. That was a signal to the Fed to tighten up their balance sheet, which in those days we called the monetary base. It still is the monetary base.
Right.
Just don't use that phrase. And that's
it's amazing.
But that's really what you're driving at. Is that kind of it?
Yes.
You don't want to.
Yes, because one thing the Fed can control is the monetary base.
Right.
They can't control velocity or anything else.
That's right.
But they can control the monetary base. And I'm afraid now they still think they can bottle up these excess reserve money they've created buy those reverse repos. In effect, they borrow the money back every night. So they create the money and then they borrow it back. Really smart. And by hiking the interest rate, they pay on reserves to try to keep banks from lending. But it's ultimately not going to work. So get your act together, guys. And whether you do a clean gold standard or a partial one, like we did have in the 80s and the part of the 90s, you don't have to artificially depress the economy. We have enough trouble without the Federal Reserve pushing us over a cliff.
You know, I thought listening and watching and reading Jay Powell, Fed Chairman Jay Powell, I mean, I really thought he sounded like Biden. Because he's, you know, he's blaming it on Putin, a.k.a. the Ukrainian war, and what he called pandemic, blah, 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 supply shortages. But that stuff, first of all, the oil price surge started way before Putin because they've run a jihad against fossil fuels and the Green New Deal crazies in the White House. But you wouldn't have oil prices rising. These indexes, flawed as they may be, would not all be rising. Some individual prices go up, some individual prices go down. That's the supply shortage point. But you've got – which – because you have excess money, you've got all these prices going up. And the – I mean, commodities may have topped off briefly, but they're still at a very high level. And on the exchange rate with King Dollar, I mean, as Hanke was saying – almost all these other currencies have been inflating almost as badly as we have. Not all of them.
And that's why the dollar looks strong on the foreign exchange.
That's,
you know, the
right.
Dollar index is over 100.
Right.
And that's not because we're doing a great job. It's everyone else is doing a worse job.
I mean, I'd like to see gold drop 1,000 or 2,000 bucks. And I'd like to see the commodity indexes drop, you know, 15, 20%. That would tell me the Fed has stopped printing excess money. But I'm not seeing that.
No. And unfortunately, the Fed is floundering. I like to compare it to what they're doing to what the doctors used to do in days of old when they bleed the patient to cure the patient.
Mm.
That got rid of the pain and suffering because it got rid of the patient. And the Federal Reserve is doing the same thing today. They don't realize if you know, the real core essence of inflation, other than the non-monetary kind, when you shut economies down and you get droughts or stuff like that, is when you reduce the value of your currency, the intrinsic, the base value of your currency. And you make your currency weaker, by golly, you're going to have trouble. And what these people don't understand, you can get regulations right, you can get spending right, you can get taxes right. But if the money's not right, you have problems. And these people who say, oh, we need 2 to 4% inflation, name one country in history that achieved great wealth. Mm. And did great things with unsound money. Mm. Just doesn't happen, period.
Steve Forbes, go back. You were making a point, and I read this briefly, but I haven't really covered it on the Fox Business Show. The Bidens are going after railroads now.
That's right. One thing President Jimmy Carter did right, and Democrats like Ted Kennedy, and with Republican support, of course, is that in the late 70s and early 80s, they deregulated all the transportation. They deregulated trains, planes, trucks. And as a result, the railroad industry at the time, which was going all the companies are going bankrupt, went from insolvency to the greatest freight rail system in the world. The track is up to date. The technology is fantastic. No country comes close to matching it either in Europe, Japan, or China. Now this administration's decided because we have fewer railroads today than we did 40 years ago, they have to create artificial competition by forcing railroads to give money to smaller railroads when they carry freight. So in effect, they're want a sort of income redistribution. Mm. Well, you do that kind of nonsense, what's going to happen to investment? Rails are very, very capital intensive. And if you start forcing these companies not to make the investments they need, we're going to go back to where we were in the terrible late 1970s. Mm. So they're going after railroads. As you know, they're reinstated the crazy rules that Trump tried to push back. So infrastructure projects are now going to take longer.
Yeah, the NEPA.
They have to do more studies and stuff like that.
The NEPA rules.
Everything they can do to gum up the economy, they're doing. And now they want to force banks to make loans to low-income communities. Fine to make the loans, but when you have the government involved, you get the loans that shouldn't be made. Let the economy alone, but they just do the exact opposite.
We were talking to Steve Scalise, Republican House Leader Steve Scalise, about the diesel fuel, Steve Forbes, and the trucking industry. So diesel fuel is like $5.50, $6 now, and that's killing the trucking industry. The trucking industry is responsible for almost 3/4 of the goods shipments inside the U.S. So there's another killer because of the Green New Deal and the war against fossil fuels.
Yeah, when you look at the requirements refineries have in terms of what they're allowed to refine, not to mention building a new refinery, good luck with that. Even LNG plants, which we would think we would want to put on a fast track to help Europe out vis-a-vis Russian gas, they're dragging their feet on that. The federal leasing, yeah, the courts say they can't block it, but they find other ways to block it through regulation. And railroads too use diesel, for crying, you know. So
Right. Yeah. That's right.
So it hits everything. And so they're putting up these artificial barriers and then complaining about the fact that costs go up. The Federal Reserve still doesn't realize that they got things semi-right in the late 1980s and part of the 1990s, not to mention what we did before in the 50s and 60s. Let me just give you one statistic, by the way, on when we had the old Bretton Woods gold standard from the late 1940s to around 1969, 1970, the average growth rate of the American economy was 4.2%. Since then, before COVID distortion, let's leave out COVID, it was 2.7. You compound that over 50 years. If we had maintained anywhere near that average historic growth rate, you know, the household income median, which is now, what, $67,000, would be about $100,000 to $110,000 today. Wouldn't people be happier with $30,000, $40,000 more income? That's what happens when they fool around with their money. And we have a pauper dollar instead of king dollar.
And you know what? So if you had king dollar, price stability, minimal taxes, minimal regulations, you could grow the economy at 3.5 to 4% in the long run. People have forgotten; they've given up on that.
No way!
Right?
We could easily grow 4%.
All right, we'll
3.5, 4.
The great Steve Forbes. Steve, can't thank you enough, and we'll send you a copy of Fiorello, the little tin box.